Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. I think we'll get started. I'm Sasha Kapadia. I'm Director of Global Advisory at ODI, and I have the great privilege of overseeing the ODI Fellowship Scheme. The ODI Fellowship Scheme is a one-of-a-kind global development program that has been running for 60 years. It is an extremely special program in that it has provided essential capacity building support to low and middle income countries, helping with public sector service delivery, and it's a life-changing experience for fellows. And it is our great pleasure to be able to launch this year's recruitment cycle of the program. I am joined by my colleagues at ODI who work on the fellowship team, as well as a few alums and one current alum, current fellow of the scheme in Malawi. So I will let my colleagues introduce themselves, and then we have a very short presentation to go into the specifics about the scheme. We'll by and large, let the alums and our current fellows speak about their experiences, and then you will have an opportunity to ask your questions. A bit of housekeeping. If you put your questions in the Q&A, we will be answering questions in real time, right? So please do not hesitate at any point in the session to fire off a question. With that, I will turn it to Darren Lomas and Jam Kearney to introduce themselves. Oops.
Oh, you're on mute, Dan.
Sorry about that. I'm Darren. I've worked on the fellowship scheme for well over 10 years. I work on recruitment and I deal a lot with the partner governments that we work with. If you've got any questions, I'll be answering those along with Jem today.
Thanks, Darren. My name's Jem Kenny. I've been working with the fellowship scheme for a year or so now, mainly on alumni engagement events, special projects, that sort of thing. Pleasure to meet you all. And handing over to Karishma. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Karishma Tiwari, and I'm a current fellow at the Ministry of Health in Malawi. Thank you. We'll pass on to Andre. Thank you.
Hi everyone, good afternoon. My name is Andre Castro and I am a former fellow from the 2015 to 17 where I was posted in Uganda. I'm happy to give later a small presentation without slides, sorry, and then happy to give some personal impressions of the fellowship and if there are any answer any questions that might be.
Thanks, Andre. Over to Naomi.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm also a former ODI fellow from 2019. I started my fellowship in Rwanda. Sorry, I started my fellowship in Liberia in the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. And then I moved to Rwanda, where I worked in the tax authority there. Happy to discuss later my experiences.
Well, thank you all for joining. Without further ado, we're just going to get into the presentation. So, what is the ODI Fellowship Scheme? In short, it's a partnership, right? So, for the past 60 years, ODI has been partnering with public sector agencies across the world. Currently, we have fellows in the Caribbean, in St. Lucia, all the way to the South Pacific, in Tonga and Vanuatu. So it is a global program that allows for really critical capacity building support to be provided to entities in somewhat constrained, limited resource environments. So it's a win-win. Governments benefit because they get high caliber, really motivated, driven individuals that give their all, frankly, to the mission of the organization. And fellows benefit because they get direct experience working in a public sector setting as a local civil servant, really understanding policymaking from a hands-on perspective. As I mentioned, last year, We celebrated 60 years of the ODI Fellowship Scheme. We're very proud to have FCDO as our primary funder of the Fellowship Scheme, but we have additional funders as well. We have partnered with over 60 agencies all over the world and placed 1,300 fellows in the last 60 years. Fellows go on to do really important work. They become very invested in the faiths of the countries in which they serve. And we have longstanding relationships with agencies in those organizations, in those countries, which pay dividends in many ways. I'm not going to list all of the current countries, but you can see them there. Why do host governments want fellows? After 60 years, you might think, should we retire this program? But as long as there is a need for development, there's a need for ODI fellows. ODI fellows contribute to stronger institutions. In short, a civil service position in a lower or middle income country can be one that is challenging, right? There are politics, there are limited resources, there's often high turnover. And so having an ODI fellow in place for a period of 2 years allows for some really critical work to take place. There's a lot of knowledge sharing and knowledge building. So there are opportunities really in every fellowship to help strengthen internal systems. There are ways that ODI fellows with the experience, many have some professional experience in the development sphere going into their roles. So they have a sense of what might be required or what might be enabling as it relates to building out policies. Because fellows have this insider-outsider perspective, they're really good at navigating the development landscape and building coalitions amongst development stakeholders. They contribute to the work culture of their office because they're often very eager to be immersed in the culture. And most important, there's this really beautiful mutual learning that takes place. Why should a person in your position do a fellowship? Well, it's an immersive work experience, one that is unlike anything else. You are, as I said, an insider-outsider, and yet your accountabilities are entirely to your institution, right? So despite perhaps having experience at a research institution or at a multilateral or within a public sector agency in your home country, this is one that flips the equation and allows you to see what the real needs and priorities are from the inside. It's an opportunity to develop really critical personal and professional skills. Karishma, who's a current fellow, and Andre and Naomi Rose will tell you that it pushes you to your limits in many ways, but in a way that allows you to be more humble, to be more resilient, to be more creative. And these skills that you gain quite early in your career will pay dividends throughout your career. And it's something we hear from alums over and over again. The exposure to different geographies and cultures is eye-opening, and it allows for relationships, lifelong relationships, to become established, and allows for a changing of perspective. What do fellows do? So we place fellows in lots of different agencies. It's not just finance or just treasury or just economy and planning. We send fellows like Karishma to line ministries as well. So ministries of health, education, agriculture. Many are aware that we've traditionally chosen fellows who have an economics master's or a statistics master's, but we're really looking at individuals who have just relevant skills in any technical master's that they can apply in any of these domains. What do fellows do? I'll let our fellows speak to this a bit, but this is just a brief overview. Policy analysis, analyzing big data and information to glean important insights to advise their employers on spending, on budgets, on how to react in a time of crisis. System strengthening, so how to do things more efficiently. This could revolve around coordinating with various stakeholders. It could involve implementing new tools to allow for there to be more transparency within an organization. There's really any number of ways that this takes place. And then, of course, cultivating networks and allowing for more buy-in and consensus across an organization through strong communication skills and translation of what might be somewhat difficult, hard to understand concepts. So how does it work? So it's called the ODI Fellowship Scheme. ODI obviously has to play a role. And so what we do is we select candidates, we run the recruitment cycle, we identify the posts with host institutions. So those are our relationships at ODI. Maintains. We brief you to go out on your fellowships. We invite all fellows to come to London, regardless of where you live, to spend a week with us, and we prepare you for the scheme. We oversee the day-to-day in the sense of your payments, your flights, your insurance. We report back to our funders. And we provide overall duty of care. So you are going to be living in a context that's potentially very different from where you currently live. And there are considerations to that, right? If you want to go travel, if you want to do something adventurous, we ultimately at ODI have responsibility over you. And it's a necessity to ensure that you're being well taken care of. And that does take up a lot of our time. So the host institution works with us to identify the particular posts, right? So whether that is helping with, in let's say in the Ministry of Education, is it in the directorate or the division that's looking at higher education or at primary education, right? So it's helping us identify that particular job for a fellow. They employ the fellow on a day-to-day basis. So all of your work, all of your day-to-day accountabilities go to your employer, the ministry or the agency. They are meant to treat you as any other employee, right? Where you are meant to be integrated into the agency or into the institution as a local civil servant. And so the request is that they provide you with a local salary commensurate with what people of your rank and level would be making. They help fellows gain work and residence permits, and they ensure that you're doing well in your day-to-day, right? That you know the lay of the land in your particular office, you know whom to connect with, you know basically how to be as effective as you can in your job. You, as the ODI fellow, are responsible for doing the best you can, right? So working to ensure that you are relentlessly and resolutely focused on the interests of the host institution, that you behave in accordance with what is expected of you as an employee of the institution, and that you show a lot of consideration and care for your environment and for your colleagues. Like, this is an experience that is really oriented towards individuals fairly early on into their career. We expect fellows to come into this experience with a lot of humility and a lot of grace, because it's going to be a challenge getting settled in at first, but pausing, reflecting, listening, understanding how you can add the most value. Ultimately, the fellows who come in with that sort of comportment have the best experiences. are we looking for? So we want postgraduates. You must have a master's degree to apply. Well, you can be finishing one right now, but you must have one before you complete, before you begin the fellowship, who can, and you can, you have an ability to take your technical skills and apply them in a really practical way. Increasingly, we see fellows coming into the experience with relevant work experience. That's great. People see the experience of the fellowship as a means to gain insight or experience in the sector that will allow them to pivot, perhaps, in their careers. So that's always a plus. We are looking for those personal qualities that I mentioned: adaptability, resilience, humility, cultural sensitivity, that would allow for you to be successful in the program. And all nationalities are welcome. And we encourage applications from traditionally marginalized communities, so LGBTQ+, as well as disabled candidates. And we on the fellowship team will work with you to ensure that we provide you with whatever support you need to be successful in the program. How to apply? Monday, right, Darren, is when we go live with our applications. So go check the ODI website on Monday for the applications to be open. They will be open for a period of about 6 weeks. We know that most applicants send those in the last few days, but you do have 6 weeks to complete your application. And if you have any questions, please do reach out to us at fellows@odi.org. That's the end of my formal presentation on the overview of the scheme. I really want this to be an opportunity for our fellows to speak to you about their experiences. And so I will turn it over to them. I will reiterate again that please use the Q&A. Please chat with us if you have any particular burning questions. We will try to leave about 15 minutes at the end for questions to be answered live. But we will be answering your questions via the chat function in the Q&A if you do send them to us. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Karishma, who is a current fellow, who can tell you all about her her feelings now 1 year into the scheme in Malawi.
Thank you. Thanks, Asha. And hi, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is Karishma Tiwari, and I am a current fellow at the Ministry of Health at the Government of Malawi. I did this webinar last year as well, and I remember I felt, I mean, it was pretty much 2 or 3 months to the start of my fellowship, and I gave really good, I felt really good at the time. And I remember kind of Sasha making a joke that, you know, you've just started, let's see what you say a year from now. And actually nothing much has changed. I still really love it. So I guess, yeah, I think it's been a really enriching experience in so many ways. And I've learned so much through this 1 year, and I am really grateful for this fellowship and sort of the very unique opportunity that it provides. As a small background to me, so I did a master's in economics and then worked in an economic consulting firm for many years, where I also did a lot of public sector consulting, so kind of working with governments but from the outside as a consultant. And then I moved on to work in the nonprofit space, where I was based in the UK, but our country offices were all in sub-Saharan Africa. And I think what led me to really apply for this, for the fellowship scheme, was particularly with the nonprofit. I kind of recognized that to make any systemic change, you have to partner with governments. And I think just being able to understand and learn and see how a government functions from within is such a special experience. And that was my main reason for applying for the scheme. And I think that it has honestly really given me that. I think as when you work in a donor organization or a partner organization, I think what you see as to how a government functions is quite different to how what you will learn being seated inside a government. And I honestly think that there is no other scheme, to my knowledge, in the world that will allow you to work literally as a civil servant for a country that you are not from, which is why I honestly think that this scheme is really a one of a kind and really special and really allows people to have this once in a lifetime opportunity. In terms of my specific role at the government, and I think it's worth saying here that each fellow's experience is really unique. It really depends on which ministry you are in, who your line manager is, etc. And so this is very specific to sort of my experience at the Ministry of Health in Malawi. The Ministry of Health in Malawi and the ODI scheme have had a really long-standing relationship. And I think that makes it's really helpful for fellows to come into this kind of a position. And I mean, surprisingly, just 2 days ago, actually, I received a spreadsheet from my boss, who is the director of planning at the Ministry of Health. And the spreadsheet was made by Paul Revel, who was a fellow like 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever. So this is kind of the long-standing relationship that I'm talking about. And the director of planning, my line manager, and Paul worked together at the ministry that n number of years ago. And so for me, when I came in, I think, you know, my director already had a very good idea of what a fellow can be expected to do, what kind of responsibilities can they be given, etc. So I was quite lucky in that I didn't really have to spend a lot of time building trust in some sense. From a personal perspective, of course, but at least from an institutional perspective, they'd all worked with ODI fellows before. And so I think from day one, I was quite lucky in that I had kind of projects given to me and a fair amount of responsibility given to me, which worked really well. It has been different for fellows in other parts. And I think sometimes you have to spend a little bit more time building the networks and building the relationships, which honestly is also a great learning experience in itself. So just to say that fellowships can be very unique in their own way, but they all come with their own set of learnings and challenges. The kind of work that I do specifically, and I think this will honestly really depend on what the gaps in the ministry at the time are. So particularly with the Ministry of Health in Malawi, we launched a new health sector strategic plan last Jan, which was coinciding with when my fellowship started. And this health sector strategic plan looks at a number of reforms that they want to implement in the health sector across various different health system strengthening blocks. And so a lot of my role within the Department of Planning has kind of been to do this coordination across various different directorates, kind of just provide support where required to help implement some of these reforms. And that could be technical support, it could be coordination support, it could be just helping develop operational plans for a directorate, etc. I would just go into a bit of detail on two key projects that I've worked on. One, which I think was a really good introduction to the health sector for me, was working on the health system strengthening component of the Global Fund grant, which is one of the biggest grants in the health sector, or the biggest grant in the health sector in Malawi. And this kind of gave me a really good overview of all the various things going on in various different parts of health system strengthening activities, and kind of gave me the ability to meet a lot of people across government as well as other stakeholders, really help prioritize what's important for Malawi, etc. The other kind of big project that I'm working on is a new reform at the government as part of the health sector strategic plan, which is called the One Plan, One Budget, One Report. Other countries in the region have implemented this, and it's the first for Malawi. And a lot of this is to do with trying to bring to aid alignment and trying to bring together various donors and the work that they do, so that donors are all supporting government priorities rather than setting up parallel systems and projects in place, which may not necessarily contribute to the government's priorities. And so this work stream has meant a lot of donor coordination, kind of working with ministry to set out what our priorities are, and then working with various donors to see where they can contribute to these priorities, what the funding gaps are, how we can help reallocate some funding, raise funding, etc. In terms of, I would say Some of the key achievements over the last 1 year have, I think for me, one of the biggest ones has actually been trying to get one plan off the ground. It's a slow process. And I think for me, one of the biggest learnings from the fellowship has also, I am quite an impatient person by nature. And so I think just like really learning to, you know, adapt. And I am in a different country's culture and I just need to learn to work in the way that they do. And so I'm here to support them. And so I think I would say my biggest learning has been to just, you know, take it with, just go with the flow, be a little bit more patient, etc. And I think like actually getting one plan off the ground, working with various donors to see what they think, how this can actually, whether, you know, donors think this is just something they have to abide to on paper, but not really, and trying to just find a way that this actually works for all key stakeholders, government and big donors, has been a great learning experience and something that I've really enjoyed doing. And I hope something that also really aligns with the health sector's priorities in Malawi. So, I mean, I guess everything I've said means that I've really enjoyed the fellowship. I'm very happy to take specific questions on anything that anybody has to ask. But I think overall, I mean, Malawi is also a very simple, easy place to move to. Lilongwe is a very small city, so it's quite easy to meet people, make friends, etc. And so I honestly had a very smooth experience moving here. Weather is absolutely great. It's warm all year round, blue skies. So yeah, I for me, it's just been, it's, I would say, mostly positive. Of course, there are frustrations. Sometimes things don't work, processes don't exist. As Sasha said in her sister, in her presentation, one of the big sort of contributions you can make is help strengthen the systems that exist within government. And so sometimes, you know, just working within a setting where some things that you've honestly taken for granted before, for example, everyone, you know, using government email addresses and finding contacts of people easily is just not done here. And so I think some of these things are, of course, frustrating. There are inefficiencies, but I would still say it's all been a great learning experience. I've learned so much from my colleagues at the ministry. I think sort of coming in with that outsider perspective, but learning and, you know, sort of working with your colleagues who have excellent contextual knowledge can actually form a really good team, and you can really like sort of deliver good quality output, kind of putting these two different bits of expertise together. And so I think I've learned a lot from my colleagues. Also just, I think, learned a lot about, you know, just living in a different context, culture, where culture is quite different, way of life is quite different. So generally, I think it's been great. Very happy to take any specific questions later, but I think I will stop here and pass back to Sasha. Thank you.
Thanks, Karishma. Well, I'm so glad to hear 1 year later that the honeymoon period is still going strong. I do remember making that joke. I'll turn it over to Andre, who I should note is a policy advisor at GIZ. So Andre, over to you.
Thank you, Sasha. Yeah, now let me start first with a bit of my background, because I think it's always a bit useful to see. Also because I got some questions after I finished my ODI fellowship in terms of helping with the interviews and things like that. So it's good to have a perspective on what kind of background of fellows at the time. So before I started the ODI fellowship scheme, I was on the last steps of my master's in development economics at the University of Manchester. And before that, I was basically in Brazil, so I am from Brazil. And the ODI fellowship was really the first international work experience that I had. So it was, I think it was a very remarkable career move that opened my perspectives towards an international career, I would say. So in that sense, I'm quite grateful to ODI for this opportunity. And I would not be exaggerating if I said that it's changed my life, in the sense that I'm sure that the path I took 10 years ago was, I mean, key to determine where and how I am at the moment. So it's always, sometimes you go to interviews And they ask you, where do you see yourself in 10 years? So, I mean, I'm sure that the ODI fellowship will not do this silly question in their interviews, but ask yourself this question and maybe you check with yourselves in 10 years and see how does it compare with today, I would say. So I have followed on to pursue a career in international development. So just after the fellowship, I moved to Tanzania to work with the International Growth Center from the LSE. And then I did a PhD in development economics at the University of Bonn here in Germany. And now I am with the German Development Agency, the GIZ, working with sustainable development. So now back to the ODI fellowship. My posting was in Uganda in the Ministry of Finance, Planning and Economic Development. So 2015, 16, 17, 2 years in total. So there I worked with tax and budget policy essentially under the Directorate of Economic Affairs. So to summarize, my routine tasks was basically to help on the tax forecasting system together with the Uganda Revenue Authority, provide brief analysis of changes in certain taxes when the government was considering to change, for example, the excise duty on sugar-based products. So contribute to the budget framework with the tax revenue side. So how domestic revenue mobilization impacts certain budgetary spendings. And in that sense, I helped to start with the process of a medium-term expenditure framework that I've just known that was completed a couple of years ago. So that's quite interesting to see that your work eventually found a successful path. And any other kind of like ad hoc expertise or briefings to my line manager, that was the tax policy commissioner and the director of economic affairs. So I also engaged with many other Ugandan government institutions like the Revenue Authority, other ministries, especially the Minister of Industry and Trade, the Statistical Office, and so on. And I also work with closely with international institutions, mainly the IMF, the World Bank, and even some applied research institutes like the IGC itself or the IPA, Innovations for Poverty Action. So I also noticed three things that Sasha said as humble, resilient, and creative. And I found that interesting because I think these traits are actually quite relevant. I'll briefly explain here why I think so. So humble, why? Because it makes you understand that you have a lot to learn. And of course, not only the reality of your basic place in country, but also I would say about international development in general. So you were maybe fresh from your master's or you have some more experience after you've done your master's. But the reality is sometimes, if not most of the times, a bit different from what you study at the university. So it's important to keep your feet on the ground and understand how you can contribute. Often in a technical way because of the nature of the fellowship, but taking into account the political dynamics, that's quite important. And it will definitely be a useful skill for you in the future. And resilient, I mean, there's so many challenges coming your way, not the least because you're outside of your comfort zone in an unknown reality, but I'm sure you'll be able to quickly adapt and make the best of it. And lastly, creativity, I mean, you will need this to provide what I would say a different type of technical and political insight. So try to help your placement ministry with the extra mile, so to say. So check what is available in terms of advice and expertise, and then learn from your colleagues and push your own boundaries to provide an input that can help your placement country to develop. So, I mean, most of the ODI fellows, not myself, but most of them come from a developed country perspective. So forget about the perspective of your home country. Try to think as if you were a native there, because many times you're helping in policy making. So try to change your perspective. I think that would be also quite useful for your future career. So yeah, I mean, I can only recommend to apply. Try your luck. It won't harm you. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. I'm going to turn it over to Naomi Rose. Naomi Rose had an interesting experience as a fellow, a COVID fellow, which was a unique experience in and of itself. She's now a research analyst on the Inequality and Gender Unit at the IMU. Over to you, Naomi Rose.
Thank you, Sasha. I will try to keep my presentation brief. I'm conscious of time and know that there's probably lots of questions and need time for discussion, but I'll keep it brief and I'm happy to answer more questions at the end. So, yeah, I started off my fellowship in Liberia, as I mentioned, in the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. I was an economic advisor to the minister in that position, so it was a very political role. And there had just been a change of leadership before I arrived. And then in Rwanda, I was a tax policy economist in the Revenue Authority, specifically in the research department, and we worked closely with the Ministry of Finance. So I think throughout my talk, I'm sort of going to contrast the two experiences because they were very different. So in Liberia, I was working with a new minister to the scheme who didn't really have much experience with ODI fellows, and it was more of a political role. Whereas in Rwanda, I was working with a very established team. I think I was a fourth fellow in the research team. And funnily enough, all of the previous fellows were still working with the team in some capacity. So yeah, it was a great team to work with. But it was definitely more technical and a lot more data heavy. Yeah, I would first say that the fellowship is an amazing opportunity to be involved in worthwhile projects. I'm probably going to repeat some of the things that have already been said. In Rwanda, my main project was to review the tax policy system. They were implementing sort of overhaul of the tax regime. So we worked closely with the IMF and the Ministry of Finance to implement a complete review and propose a medium-term revenue strategy. So that involved complex and sophisticated data analysis and policy drafting. Whereas in Liberia, it was very, in Rwanda, we had a lot of tax data. In Liberia, it was a very different experience. We didn't have much data. I was working on trade, and a lot of the analysis there would be reviewing policy proposals that the minister would take directly to the president and discuss with him in meeting, like bi-weekly meetings. So that in itself was also really interesting and gives you or gave me a view as to how policy was made in Rwanda versus in Liberia. I think Sasha mentioned earlier that the fellowship is a opportunity for mutual learning, and I would completely agree with that. Not only is it a great opportunity to live in an interesting place and work with interesting people and understand a new culture and a different way of working. But it also gives you a crucial perspective onto how government works. And if I used to work in international development, and I think that perspective is crucial. A lot of people I work with haven't had the experience that the ODI fellowship gives you. And I'm always coming up and like bringing in a new different perspective on how to engage with teams, how to think about policies that we're proposing. You also understand how to get things done in a resource-constrained environment, and those constraints are different depending on your placement. So in Liberia, I mean, I didn't have a desk, I wasn't given a computer, I just sort of had to make do with where I could find myself, whereas in Rwanda, but you know, I had like access to the president basically. Whereas in Liberia, in Rwanda, it was very much an established desk, team, method, effective systems, but then pushing policies through was a little more difficult. Yeah, I've met amazing people in both countries that I'm still in contact with, and I'm still involved in projects in both Liberia and Rwanda. So I had good experiences in both places. So in Liberia, as I mentioned, there wasn't the data, there wasn't the capacity that there was in Rwanda. So in Liberia, I was teaching Excel, whereas in Rwanda, I got to teach R, which was really cool. And I didn't expect to do that as an ODI fellow. So there's a broad range of experiences that you can have. And then, yeah, outside of work as well, some in Liberia. I mean, there's virgin rainforest. It was an amazing experience to be able to visit areas that otherwise you wouldn't be able to see. And if I hadn't lived there, I don't think I would have seen a lot of the things I was able to. And in Rwanda, you have the East African community, and we're so close to everything, and it's so easy to get around. And that was incredibly fun. I was a fellow during COVID. I mean, I won't really speak about that because I don't think it's applicable to anyone now, but happy to go into details on that if you want. When I'm thinking about tips for application and when you're applying, my biggest recommendation and also a point for reflection if you are thinking about applying is that this is a government role, and so you are in a position of neutrality. You may have judgments and priors that you want to present, and there's a right way of doing things, and all the things you've learned at university tell you that this is the way it should be done. And then you get to the position where you're promoting a policy, and that just doesn't happen. And something completely different that you didn't expect to go through happens because of the political environment or because it's so difficult to get policies through. And so you have to sort of go in with an understanding that you are powerless. You have an unique opportunity to influence politics and policies, not politics, but policies in your government. But ultimately, the decision is not down to you, and you just provide the evidence-based research and see how things get done. Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity, and I'm excited for everyone who gets to go on that journey. Okay, I'll stop there, and then happy to go into further details.
Thanks so much, Naomi Rose. I know that we have some questions in the Q&A, and I think this one, perhaps since you mentioned the coding skills, Naomi Rose, would love to hear from you. Are coding skills important for a fellow today? And perhaps, our other fellows can jump in on that as well. Which languages would you suggest, if so?
So I did a master's in economics. So I did a lot of econometrics and data analysis in that sense. So I can speak to that stream of work. I used R and taught R. I know that other people had used Python. So maybe now Python is more is also important. But yeah, so in Liberia, as I mentioned, there just wasn't the data there to be able to perform the analysis using anything else other than Excel, and there wasn't the capacity there. So really, had I tried to teach R or Python, then it would have been a waste because it wouldn't have been used, and then probably I would have been anyone who had learned the skill would probably then move on out of the civil service into something else. Whereas in Rwanda, there was a higher capacity. We were in the research team. We were in the tax authorities. We had a lot of micro data to deal with, and really the best way and the most efficient way to perform the analysis that we needed to do was on Stata or R or Python. And because the team actually preferred R because they already sort of were aware of it, and it was free. So I wasn't expecting to teach coding at all, but it came in very useful, and yeah, they're still using it now and expanding on it. So we made some dashboards in R Shiny, and yeah, but that was a neat part of the fellowship.
I will just add before Andre or Karishma comes in, we have another fellow in the statistics service in Ghana who is teaching her peers R, and even is teaching a course at the university in R, and they participated in a UN organized like data-thon, and they won. So it's a pretty cool skill to be able to have and transmit as a fellow. Andre or Karishma, any additions to Naomi Rose's comments about coding, programming languages?
I can give a brief comment about that. I before the fellowship, used to work with Stata, so that was what I was familiar with. And So it was not yesterday. It's already 10 years, you know. So R was not really such a big thing, I would say, 10 years ago as compared to what it is nowadays. It was developing. I mean, it existed and some people work, but definitely not economists. 10 years ago, economics was basically Stata. Nowadays, it's more R. Even though I actually did my PhD using Stata, I must admit, my R skills are not that great. I mean, this is something I need to work on. But in my department in general, people used to work basically with Excel. Like, apart from a couple of people, one of them actually went to do a PhD, and he used Stata, so I could do some interesting analysis with him, and I could exchange some ideas. Not really do like a formal tutoring or formal training, but like exchange some ideas with colleagues about data analysis. I don't know about nowadays. I think it depends a lot where you were going. In some places, it will definitely be necessary. In other places, maybe not so much. But it's definitely an important skill, not only for the ODI fellowship, but for other placings in development economics and international development. So it's worth doing. And I mean, I would, if I were you, like a fresh new ODI fellow, I would focus on R. I think it's more important. But I know that the learning curve can be a bit steep. So yeah, it's important. It depends on where, but it's definitely useful. Yeah.
Thank you. And I will say, the ODI team, right? We're not, we obviously look at the placements that we have and the skills that are within the fellow pool, right? And we're not going to place you in a role where we don't think you will be successful, right? So if the role, for example, there was a role in the Zambian Revenue Authority that was, that required advanced computer programming languages and skills, we're not going to place someone who doesn't have those skills in that role, right? And if we do believe that there is a need to upskill a fellow in order to be successful, either prior to the fellowship or during the fellowship, we have funds that we do deploy to allow fellows to be able to access trainings, right? Whether that's in technical skills or even language skills. So know that that is something that we will support you with.
Thanks. Can I just say, I would like to just say and reiterate what Sasha has just said, because of course it's a great skill to have, no doubt. And I mean, if you have the opportunity, of course, it's good to learn. But for example, at the Ministry of Health in Malawi, I think even the Excel capacity of my colleagues is so weak that Excel trainings is in itself, a big step in Malawi. And none of our work actually uses any programming languages at all. So as Sasha says, I mean, some roles will require it and some will not. And so I don't think it should be something that stops you from applying if that's a skill that you don't have. Thank you.
There's a question now about the support that ODI provides, right? So ODI is ultimately responsible for the oversight of the scheme. So we don't help you find accommodation, but we provide you with an allowance that basically covers your rent, right? So there's a housing allowance that is separate from your salary that essentially covers all or most costs of living in a particular place. Karishma was talking about, and so was Naomi Rose, about kind of the chains of fellows that come before you. And so there are these networks that we will connect you to, obviously, so that if there's a particular apartment that gets passed down from fellow to fellow, or a particular landlord that knows fellows well and trusts them, you will be provided with all of those links and connections to ensure that you can, build a support system as quickly as possible. On the paperwork issue, obviously, we do support you with flights and all of the costs associated with moving to a new place, but it's ultimately your employer, the institution, to help you ensure that you're, working through the appropriate channels to get legal status in that country, right? And we can help you with any letters or you know, kind of affirmations, whatever that may be on the ODI side to ensure that that is facilitated. I will say some institutions who are very familiar with ODI fellows, you know, can do this very easily. In some, it's a bit harder, right? So it really is on a case-by-case basis, but we do everything that we can to support and assist. And on the partner side, ODI does not provide any support or does not secure opportunities for partners. We know many fellows have traveled to their fellowship country with their partners. For some, it works out. For some, it doesn't. I have to be very honest about that. So, I see Andre and Karishma are typing away. Might as well cede the floor to them so that they can answer.
Yeah, just maybe it's easier if I say I was going to answer that. I mean, you'll be working in the government, so don't worry about paperwork. It might be a bit annoying. You have to go here and there, fill out a few forms, you know, but it will be sorted out. Because, I mean, you're with the government, so don't worry too much about that.
I'm not sure if anybody wants to speak to that personal aspect, right? So I don't know if you know of fellows who have traveled with partners and how that worked, and any insider guidance into that would be appreciated, I'm sure.
I can come in because I moved with my partner. He already had a remote gig, so I think that kind of made it easier in terms of I don't think there's too many opportunities to be able to find paid work for a partner. And again, I'm sure this depends country to country, so my answer is very specific to Malawi. But with the visa part of it, it was very helpful. And actually, this is a good time to say, as Sasha was saying, you have these like networks of fellows. And so before we moved, we had like these country briefing notes that were shared with us, which have basically been drafted by previous fellows. And that kind of deals with a lot of these questions, including how you may find accommodation or like all basically anything you can think of about living in country. And it also sort of answered a little bit about how previous fellows had managed bringing their partners along, what paperwork was required, etc. So already had a bit of information there, which was obviously very helpful. And then the visa was quite straightforward, at least in my case, for my partner and me. But yeah, I mean, ODI doesn't support partner costs, so that's kind of something that you will have to take on yourself. Thank you.
I can also jump in here as well. Sorry, Sasha. Yes. As my partner came to both Liberia and Rwanda with me and was able to find somewhere to work in both places, and visas were fine. In Liberia, it was via a friend that I knew and who worked in the same field. And then in Rwanda, it was while he came. So he came and then figured it out while he was there. So yeah, you might not be able to have a plan set in place before they arrive, but I think Andre alluded to it's fine. So if you work for the government, you can figure it out.
Yeah, and I will say, do not discount the potential of finding your partner on your fellowship, because this happens a lot. So whether it's somebody that you meet in your role, a local-ish person, or it's somebody that you meet who is another fellow, it happens.
That's my case. Even though I'm not married to Ugandan, my wife is German and I met her in Uganda. So there you go. Another incentive for you to apply.
We've just got a few more questions. I see another question about the interview process, right? So last year was my very first interview schedule on the fellowship, but would love our alums and our current fellow to speak a little bit about the interview process and what that's like.
I can come in because maybe I was the most recent on here. Mine was the year just after COVID, so it may have changed a little bit again. But for us, I know before me, they used to have a group discussion stage. We didn't have that. So we had a written test that was shared with us, which we had to sort of respond to, I think, in 2 hours, which was mostly, if I remember correctly, like some Excel data given to us, a little bit of analysis, and a couple of questions which were very relevant to what you would do. So, you know, how would you sort of draft a concept note to respond to maybe a director of planning on XYZ, that kind of stuff, quite related to quite economicsy. But not related to, I mean, I don't think you needed to know any specific health economic concepts or anything like that. I didn't have a background in health before I started at the Ministry of Health, if that helps. And then the interview itself, we had, I think it was mostly general, a little bit on the CV. And then there were a couple of, so my background was in education, but the person sitting on the panel had a health background. So there were a couple of health economics questions, but I don't think you needed to know specific health economics concepts for that. It was, you know, just economics concepts that could be sort of used in other, in special line ministries as well. But yeah, I mean, most of it was just general economic theory. And there was a little bit of the soft skills part as well, because a huge part of your role is stakeholder engagement and relationship management. Thank you.
Yeah. And I will say, Karishma, this last cycle, we did experiment. Well, so we, to the extent possible, we brought as many people to London as we could for an in-person interview, but we did offer a hybrid day. And we experimented with an online group exercise, which Darren managed. And we thought it went pretty well, right? We think it's really valuable for us to evaluate that interpersonal component. To understand how, you know, potential fellows engage with each other, you know, on a peer-to-peer basis. And so I think we will continue offering that going forward, whether or not we, though I will say, interestingly enough, the fellows or the applicants who had the hybrid experience, that means they, you know, they interviewed online, fared better than those who came in person. I think after COVID, people are more intimidated about in-person interviews. And so it was an interesting learning for us. I would say we're just about done with time. To Francois's point, I don't think we can share those country notes now. I think that's something that happens that we would share once a fellow is selected to go to a particular country, because it does revolve around intel, insider intel. Anything? I can't think of, we're going to wrap up on time. So many thanks to Karishma, Andre, and Naomi Rose for joining us. Without fellows sharing their experience, this really doesn't. You don't get really any color from it. So an overview presentation is just an overview presentation. So I'm very thrilled that they were able to join us and give a little bit of a personal side to the fellowship. In Karishma's case, as she's in it, and in Andre and Naomi Rose's case, as having completed it in Andre's case 10 years ago, and in Naomi Rose's case not so long ago. So encourage you to apply. Monday is when applications open. Please do not hesitate to be in touch with us at fellows@odi.org if you have any questions. And with that, have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks so much, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.